Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We have a barn burner of a show for you today. It is Wednesday, June 1st, 2022. It's the Feast of St. Justin Martyr. If you want to call in right now, 888-914-9149 is the number to call for the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. You can also email the show. It's always great to get your emails, your questions, your comments. I got a great email question based off of yesterday's show. Time permitting, I'll share that. But if not, we'll get to it as soon as possible. But the address, once again, is Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter, too. Grab onto my handle, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. I just love St. Justin Martyr. We're going to talk about him. And then later on, by the way, this is unbelievable. We're going to talk about Father Rocky's new free book. I want to share with you some insights that he had in the book. And by the way, this is called, of course, The Memorary Moment. And you can get this free at relevantradio.com/moment. I'll talk about that later. But Father Rocky said something in his book that literally made me laugh out loud. I actually LOL'd. If I had an emoji somehow I could share with you in auditory fashion, I would do that. I literally cannot believe that he even knew about this, let alone put it in the book. I knew about this. My eyes nearly bulged out of my head. I'll share that with you later in the program. But yeah, let's talk about St. Justin Martyr. And I love his feast day for many reasons. Obviously, he was one of the first apologists of the faith, and he wasn't saying, I'm sorry for being a Catholic. That means, of course, explaining and defending the faith. And of course, his feast day is also my birthday. Yep, today's my birthday. And some of you know that. Some of you guys have been reaching out to wish me well and tell me that you're praying for me. And I appreciate that. Hey, all right. Thank you, Jim. Jim on the piano there, tickling the ivories. I love it. I love it. And Jim was asking me what my favorite kind of birthday cake is. I would go with the chocolate with vanilla gritty icing. I love that kind of gritty icing that you get at cake shops and stuff. I don't know how you make that, but it's phenomenal. I might just have some cake later on. But hey, do I deserve it? I don't know, but I'm going to do it. I'm definitely going to do it. Should I do it? Probably not. Probably not. But I have been actually trying to work out a little bit. Sidebar, total sidebar. Got a new dog. The dog loves to run, so I've been starting to try to get in shape. I'm going to be starting my basketball league up again soon, my beer league. And speaking of that, I actually had to look this up because, well, let me share. I'll save that for later. I'll save this for later. But I will say this, though. My birthday got off to a really good start last night because Cale scored last night. I'm talking, of course, about Cale Makar from the Colorado Avalanche. Here's a clip.
Game one against Calgary. That one finished 9-6. Scores!
Yeah, last night, if you caught the game between the first game of the Western Conference Finals, that was Chris Cuthbert on the call for CBC, by the way. Cale Makar, spelled the same way. I love the fact that there's another Cale out there. Kind of gives me some more credibility. I wish I could skate like this guy, I'll tell you that. Scored a beautiful goal against the Edmonton Oilers in game one of the Western Conference Final. The final score is 8-6. I mean, What year are we in? Is this 2022 or 1985? Man, talk about fire wagon hockey. What an offensive explosion. But you say, well, hang on here. Okay, Cale might have scored last night, but that was last night. That wasn't your birthday. Well, it kind of was because we're Catholics. I consider it the vigil of my birthday, right? It was the vigil feast. So we started early. We started early. And we'll continue on, of course. And once again, that number to call is 888-914-9149. But I want to talk about today's saint. This is really who the day is all about. This is St. Justin Martyr. And we can learn so much from him, one of the first guys to really systematically explain and defend the faith. And anybody who shares their faith is an apologist, whether you like it or not. This is part of our task. We always have to play that role. We have to put on our apologist hat when we're talking about the faith, very often with skeptical friends and neighbors. And how exactly do we do that? Well, St. Justin Martyr gives us a really good roadmap for how to share our faith with people who we might not actually have a lot in common with. He really has a lot of great insight. And by the way, you can read about how St. Justin Martyr became a believer in Jesus Christ in one of his most famous works. He really wrote three big works of apologetics. One of them is called The Dialogue with Trypho, and that's kind of in written format. It's kind of a back and forth. And Trypho was a Jewish person, and he's trying to convince Trypho that Jesus is the Messiah. And in chapter 7 and chapter 8 of his Dialogue with Trypho, he talks about his conversion. And Justin Martyr was a philosopher. He was into all the latest and greatest philosophical ideas of the time. And he was walking along the beach, and he met this mysterious old man on the beach who turned out to be a Christian. And he said he found from this guy the true philosophy, that Jesus Christ is, and his teaching is really the true philosophy. And that, it was just an amazing story. So you can read about that. And he also wrote what was called his first apology and his second apology. These are his three chief works. And the first apology is probably something that you know well, and we've talked about this in the past. He really spells out, by the way, the Mass. He's writing to the Roman Emperor, and he's trying to explain, hey, you don't need to raise an eyebrow at these Catholics. You don't need to look at them with suspicion or in any kind of way that might think that they are some sort of a threat to you. They want to be good citizens. They want to, of course, be citizens of the kingdom of heaven first, but also good citizens of Rome, and they will follow the law as long as it doesn't conflict with the law of God. But there are all these wild rumors about the church, of course, in the early centuries, rumors that the early believers were cannibals because the pagans would just hear that, hey, they met in these secret places and they had this secret meal, which was, of course, the Eucharist. You couldn't get into, it's not like today where you just wander into a Catholic Mass. You couldn't participate in the Eucharist unless you were initiated, unless you were baptized. You've been a catechumen, you've been baptized at the Easter Vigil, and then the Eucharistic table's open to you. But the pagans just heard rumors about what was going on in there, in these gatherings, in these underground gatherings, as it were. All they heard was, hey, they're gathering together to eat the flesh and drink the blood of this dude. And wild rumors would spread that they were cannibals, even eating babies. That's not what happened, obviously. But he explains it to the Roman Emperor. He lays out the Mass. And this is incredible. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it quotes St. Justin Martyr extensively when he talks about the Mass. And what's great about that is, as you read it, you can see that the Mass is essentially the same as it is today, the same structure, which is, of course, handed down straight from Jesus. Well, let me just give you a couple quotes from St. Justin Martyr to whet your appetite and give us some insight about what we can do today, because he's just as relevant in 2022 as he was in century number two, because he died in the second century. He was, of course, martyred, as his name would indicate. And in his first apology, he basically sets a tone here when he says, quote, "Reason dictates that those who are truly pious and truly philosophical should honor and love only the truth, declining to follow opinions of the ancients if they are worthless." Wow, he said that in chapter 2 of his first apology. So he looked at it kind of like I look at, you know, last night's pizza in the fridge. You know, I don't know if this is still good. When in doubt, throw it out. That comes to most of my culinary experiences. I'll save the leftovers, but you know, after 3 or 4 days, they're no good anymore. And just because something's old, just because an idea is old, doesn't mean that it's still something you should chew on, essentially. He says, hey, don't follow the opinion of the ancients if they're worthless. In other words, you got to check out. You've got to look at every idea that's out there, and don't just blindly swallow everything the culture is giving you. You've got to actually look at it. You've got to dissect it And don't be passive. You've got to have some critical thinking skills here. And I really love that about St. Justin Martyr, that even when it came to the Catholic faith, he would say, you've got to consider this. You've got to check it out on its merits and weigh the evidence, look at it. And this is not something that you just have to. Faith does not mean a blind leap into the dark. It doesn't mean putting your brain on the shelf. You've got to think. You've got to think here. Let my people think, as it were. And then he had this, oh, this is really good. Folks, you're going to love this. This is one of the most wild arguments I've ever heard. This is wildly good. It's an incredible argument for the resurrection. Well, Doug Guyvett wrote an article about from Biola University about St. Justin Martyr, and he said that when he was a young man, of course, he was into philosophy. He would follow the school of Plato. And he said, Plato used to say that if souls tried hard enough, they could remember their pure life before birth. Interesting. Hey, if you really, you know, strain hard enough, you might be able to remember what it was like in the womb. Well, I don't know about that, but this is incredible. Justin kind of used this to promote belief in the resurrection. So here's what he says. And obviously, just like today, just as in Justin's day in the 21st century, same as in the second century, some people actually scoff at the idea that a body that's been dead, buried, decomposed, can actually rise from the dead again, you know, unless you're into The Walking Dead or something like that. You know, my wife watches that show all the time. Of course, she would buy that. Just, yeah, of course, the dead can come back, of course. But a lot of people will just scoff at that. And St. Paul dealt with that too. When he went to Athens, which was really the center of philosophy in the ancient world, in Acts chapter 17 in your New Testament, he goes to Athens and he preaches about the resurrection. People, and there's really three different reactions to Paul. And they're the same reactions people have today. A lot of people just laughed at him. They said, this guy's nuts. He seems smart. Why is he talking about this? So some people laughed. Some people said, we'll hear you on this matter later. In other words, we'll put this on the shelf. We'll kind of bide our time. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. They wanted to hear more later. Let's keep the conversation going. And then other people actually believed. And one of them was this woman named Damaris and some of her companions. And they became followers of Jesus through Paul. And so in the same way, St. Justin Martyr was dealing with these philosophers who were into Plato. And here's how he argued about the resurrection. This is incredible. He said that, hey, if anybody thinks it's a laughable idea, that's just unbelievable, that a dead body that's decomposed, it's dissolved, it's diffused into the earth, if you think it's impossible that that body could be raised physically from the dead on the last day, say Justin Martyr said, hey, think about where babies come from. Now, they didn't know as much about procreation and fertilization and all the advances that modern science has helped us to understand about the beginnings of human life. But nonetheless, people did know something about the birds and the bees back then. And St. Justin says, imagine if you didn't know how human procreation worked, if someone showed you a picture of a human seed. So it'd be like today showing somebody an image of a fertilized embryo. Okay, at its very earliest stage of existence. If someone showed you a picture of an embryo and then showed you a picture of a mature man or woman, maybe somebody in their mid-20s or physically immature, whatever, and say, hey, by the way, that is exactly where that mature person comes from. He once looked like this, or she once looked like this. If you showed an ancient person these two images, they would say, no way, no way. I don't believe that. There's no way that this mature person came from that. But yet, it seems impossible, but it's true. And so St. Justin Martyr said, hey, if God can do that, if that's how a human person grows and matures and comes to be, then why do you think it's impossible that God could clothe the soul again in the future with the same body of the person who has died? And then he cites Matthew's gospel where Jesus says, with man, this is impossible. With human beings, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So That's a great analogy. If you show somebody a fertilized embryo, a fertilized egg, and say that becomes this, you know, eventually 75-year-old man or 90-year-old woman, say, no way, but it's the same person. Yes way, it's like Wayne's World. So I just love that argument by St. Justin Martyr. And then here's where kind of the rubber meets the road for us. How do we find common ground with people that don't believe what we believe about the faith? This is really, really important. So obviously, Justin, being from the philosophical school of Plato, he would use philosophy, Socrates, Plato, to point out the truths of Jesus, that Jesus has the true philosophy. In fact, he builds on what these guys thought about. And some of the stuff that's in Jesus' teaching, you can see seeds of it in Plato, in Socrates. But Jesus, of course, brings it to full flowering. It's a little bit like St. John Paul II in Fides et Ratio, his great encyclical on faith and reason. And maybe we should call this show Fides et Radio. I don't know. That could be our new tagline. We'll have to copyright that one. But anyways, one of the things that the JP2 said is that you need both to fly. You need faith and reason, like two wings. You need them both to fly. But here's the deal. Faith obviously takes us beyond reason. It doesn't go against reason. It's not against or anti-reason, but it goes beyond it. Our faith goes beyond it. Faith must go beyond reason, but it never contradicts it. It never contradicts it. And he would use arguments that were very much similar to what the church would do later in the medieval times. And people think of medieval times, and I know medieval times is also a restaurant. I've never been there, but it sounds like fun, playing dress up and, you know, jousting and all that stuff and having a feast. But maybe I'll have one later for my birthday. Maybe I don't know what's going to happen after the show. Maybe my wife will surprise me and take me to medieval times. But having said that, the medieval times get a bad rap. I don't know, people talk about going medieval on you, but that's not always a bad thing, especially when it comes to the teaching of the church, because Peter Kraft, a friend of the program, he's been on before, he talks in one of his books about how in the medieval times, the church synthesized. You know, we love 80s music with synthesizers. Well, we want to synthesize faith and reason. And here's how they did it. They kind of took faith, if you will, from Israelite theology, from the Old Covenant, from the Old Testament, and they mixed it up, they remixed it with reason that came from Greek philosophy. And what do you get when you blend it together? It's a little bit like Reese's peanut butter cups, right? Hey, you got your chocolate into my peanut butter. Hey, you got your peanut butter into my chocolate, but it makes a delicious combination, doesn't it? And this is the medieval synthesis that the church brought together. Faith from Israel, reason from the philosophers, and brought it together, remixed it to bring about Catholic truth. And it's delicious, and it's spiritually very satisfying. And St. Justin used to talk about stuff like that. I absolutely love it. And so here's what I would say about this. This is where, when it comes to talking to other people about your faith, Justin can really point out some great stuff on this too. And I found this other article. This is interesting. This is from an organization called Orthodox Christian Fellowship, because the Orthodox believers, the Orthodox churches of the East, they also, of course, are very fond of St. Justin Martyr. They also claim him as their own. And this is kind of like a university group, a little bit like you might have heard of Focus, which is a Catholic group that ministers to university students on campuses all across America. I guess this is kind of the Orthodox version of this. There's some Orthodox listeners to the show. They might have heard about this. But anyways, there's an article on their website about how to use St. Justin to bring the faith to your friends. And so one of the things that Justin said in his first apology was he said, look, there are seeds of truth among all people. There are seeds of truth among all men. So everybody knows some truth. There isn't anybody in the world that doesn't know something that's true, either through their conscience or through creation or through the world around us. And so we got to build on that. We've got to build on that. Now, people that we go to school with and maybe the person in the next cubicle, the person in the house down the street, the guy on our local beer league softball team, he may not be an express Catholic, but he does have some seeds of truth in his life. So St. Justin had a couple of takeaways for how to deal with people like this. Number one, we've got to be educated. We've got to be a little bit, we've got to know something about our faith, and we also have to know something about the other person and what they know. And this is really important. We've got to know the scriptures as Catholics. We've got to know the teaching of the church. We've got to know the catechism, at least in a rudimentary fashion. And you got to know something about your friend, what they believe. Well, how do you find out? Well, you ask them. On a novel concept. Hey, so tell me about your religious background, or tell me about your spiritual journey. People love to answer that question. It's a great way to get people talking. You ask them what they believe. They're more than happy to tell you most of the time. More than happy to tell you. And if you're lucky, because most people are polite, they will turn it around and say, well, what about you? What do you think? Unless they're, I mean, we all know people are totally self-absorbed. And they only want to talk about themselves, but most people will say, well, how about you? And then they're asking you, you're not shoving it down their throat. You're not, uninvited, knocking on their door. They're actually asking you, please tell me what you think, what you believe, what your life has been like. So again, to bring up Peter Kraft, he's a teacher. He taught at Boston College for many, many years. And he said, the secret of being a great teacher is two things, love of subject. Okay, you got to love what you're teaching, right? To be effective at teaching it, because that joy and that excitement comes across. Love of subject, and then love of student. You got to love the student. You got to love what you're teaching. And that's what we have to do too. Say Justin Martyr was a teacher. He had this school of philosophy. He taught people the philosophy of Jesus. And many of his students were also martyred and gave their life for the faith along with him. But he was a teacher. He was a teacher. He knew what people thought. He knew what people believed in the culture around him. And he also knew the faith really well. And so you say, well, I'm not a professional theologian. Doesn't matter. You can know something about it. You can certainly tell your testimony how God's working in your life. Nobody can argue with that. Nobody can argue with a personal testimony. Oh, that didn't happen. God didn't really give you peace. And they're not going to say that. So, but they're often listening. Oh, that's intriguing. I'm looking for peace. I'm not happy right now, despite my material possessions or whatever the case may be. So just a couple quick things here, and then we'll move along. But the other thing that St. Justin knew was that every single person has been made in the image and likeness of God, whether they know that or not, including their reasoning, because God has endowed us all with reason, right? And so we can never coerce faith in people. We have to respect their intellect, and we can never kind of coerce people or fudge the process or manipulate people. We have to simply lay it out there. And some people, because their intellects are darkened, maybe because of sin or maybe the bad formation, they're not going to be thinking straight about this stuff. Or they're influenced by the media. Oh, Catholics are evil. The church is responsible for all kinds of terrible things in human history. But you can't coerce faith, okay? We have to respect people's choices, even if they say no. God respects our freedom too. That's the whole deal with sin. He lays freedom out there, even though he knows that it might turn out badly. In fact, it's a little bit like God said, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Because without freedom, there can't be love. There can't be a choice to do the good. So we have to start with where people are at. We have to look for those seeds of truth that St. Justin said are in everybody. Teach calculus before you teach trigonometry, right? You got to start with the basics, build on common ground. I think that's really, really important. And then the last thing is, and St. Justin knew this, that love is the water that you need to water the seed of the word. So everybody's got the seed of the word somewhere inside of themselves. And we need to not just give people facts, but give people love. And that is what's ultimately going to catch them, I think. Got to catch them by the head. Got to catch them by the heart as well. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149 is the number to call. If you want to react to that, give me a shout. Give me a call. Grab a vine, 888-914-9149. And I'll be right back with Father Rocky's very surprising thing that he knew about that I didn't think he knew about, but I'm going to share that with you after the break. Be right back. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Hey, I'm going to share with you an eye-popping insight from Father Rocky in just a minute that I couldn't even believe that he knew about, but he did. I'm going to share that with you. But once again, that number to call, 888-914-9149. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. I'm going to go to the phones right now. Actually, Lourdes is calling from Miami. How are things down in beautiful Miami?
Hi, Cale. It's actually pretty hot and a little bit rainy over here.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought the sunshine into the show by calling in. And what's on your mind today?
Well, I was listening to your show, and I always find it fascinating because I think I've always believed in Jesus. I was raised in the Catholic faith, but I fell away from it. Mm-hmm. But I never really lost my faith in Jesus. I consider him my Lord and Savior, but I have such difficulty conveying that information or what I believe to other people because I just don't ever feel like I have strong enough faith.
Yeah, why do you think you feel that way? What makes you say, "Oh, my faith is small or weak?"
I think it's a combination of almost like I feel like my democratic nature just doesn't want me to have my other friends who might be of other faiths feel like I'm imposing my beliefs or that I'm diminishing their belief.
Interesting. Well, I always say this. We are always super excited to recommend our favorite new movie, maybe Top Gun Maverick. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to. Trust me. Or a favorite new restaurant, or, hey, you know, check out Miami Beach. It's lovely. A little hot right now, but... And so we're really excited to recommend things that we like or things that we have benefited from. And sometimes we're really shy about sharing really the greatest gift that we have, which is our faith. And ultimately every single person in the world was created to know the truth, created to know Christ. And they're not going to kind of be complete without that. And I completely understand that the desire not to want to impose, and we shouldn't do that. And Pope Benedict talked about that too. He said that we can never impose the faith on anybody, but we can and we should propose the faith. Hey, have you ever thought about this? And so I think that prayer of that Father in the Gospel, you know, Jesus and his Peter, James, and John, they come down from the mountain of transfiguration in the gospel, and they've just had literally the mountaintop experience. And then they come down into the valley, and there's a boy who's possessed by a demon, and his dad is there, and he is just at his wit's end. And he says to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So he was a guy who had that seed of faith, but like, help me water this thing, you know, help this seed to grow. And so you've got that, and I would just say you can pray that prayer. You can pray that prayer, Lord, I believe, you know, help my unbelief. Help me to be so convicted of this truth that, and the people need to know it, that, you know, I'm not gonna, again, shove it down people's throats or anything, but if the opportunity arises, I'm going to try to tell them about Jesus. And I think one of the most effective ways you can do that, Lord, is simply by what I alluded to earlier, which is just the sharing your story approach. It's kind of like having an elevator pitch. And you can, you know, kind of think about different ways to do this. And sometimes you can expand this if you have more time with someone, or you can literally, if you're in an elevator, you can make the elevator pitch. And it's just a simple way to do it. And it's called the sharing your story approach. And here's just a visual for you. You can think about this. BC plus AD. Okay, think about that. BC plus AD. What does that mean? BC means before Christ, and then the plus is really the cross. It's the plus sign, but it's really a cross. BC, before Christ, and then there's this moment of the cross, and then AD is, you know, afterwards, right? Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, in the time of our Lord. So what was my life like before you know, Jesus either helped me through something or I became Catholic or whatever the case may be. I came to have more faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, whatever. And then 80, here's how things are different now. So you just think about different ways to do that. That's a nice non-confrontational way to share about what God's doing in your life. And then if you can kind of read the room, right? If people are interested in that, oh, tell me more. You'll be able to tell if their body language will shut down. If they don't want to hear about this, they'll maybe fold their arms or change the subject. That's okay. Again, you just kind of play it as it lays, let it go, and maybe another time they'll be more open to it. I really do think that Lord, as people are, it's very much like the ocean tide. You know, you live near Miami Beach, you know about this, that the tide always comes in and out. And sometimes people, the tide is out. They're not interested in spiritual things. They don't want the tidal wave of God's love. They're not looking for that. And then other times they're more open to it, whether they're going through a problem, they've lost a job, or they're sick, or their loved ones have gone astray, or something terrible has happened. Stuff's going on in the culture. I want answers. What's the answer? And I think at those times, that's when they're more open. There are times in people's lives where the tide is coming in, and they're open to hearing about God. And that's when you can kind of be there for them, and they'll know you as, hey, I know this lady's a Catholic. I know her faith is important to her. Maybe I should talk to her about this. And eventually, over time, you'll have those opportunities as well. So I don't know if any of this is helpful to you, Lourdes, but
to me, I agree, and I need to be more, I don't want to say the word assertive, but I need to maybe walk more by example, and hopefully that also demonstrates to people that I am a faithful person and do believe in Jesus and abiding by my Catholic faith. But my fear is always alienating my friends who definitely are very much involved and engaged in their own religion. And so that's always my fear, but I guess that will always be, and I just can't let my fear of that. If they're truly my friend, they will hopefully understand that this is just part of my religion as well, you know, in order to basically say, you know, I do believe that Jesus is Lord. I do believe that he is everyone's savior, without maybe saying, your faith is, I never say your faith is the wrong faith, but there's always that feeling that they may get that impression. And so I always kind of just hope that they can see my life and see that.
I agree with that, but I think there's a bit of a subtle temptation there, this idea that, I'm afraid of impinging. We have to understand that this is for all people. That's what the word Catholic means. It's universal. It's for all people at all times and all places. This is good news. This is really good news for the world. And I think sometimes some of this fear that we have, and maybe the fear you're experiencing, it's not from God. The scriptures say perfect love casts out all fear. And this is what St. John says in one of his letters. Perfect love casts out all fear. So you love your friend. You care about them. You want the best for them. Well, God loves them too. You love them. God loves them. And so, hey, if we really love them, we want to tell them the truth. And we shouldn't be afraid of how they might take it. That's one thing. Hey, Jesus says, hey, don't be ashamed of my words in this generation. You know, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you. We don't want that to happen, right? So always just be confident. And just having that confidence in your faith, I think that comes across too. That comes across as well. Sometimes you meet people who just have that. The conviction. They believe it. People can somehow sense this, and if they're spiritually open, they'll sense that this person really does buy into this. This isn't theoretical at all. So I hope that's helpful, Lourdes. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate that. It's a great topic to bring up on this day as we're talking about St. Justin Martyr and evangelization. So God bless you. We'll pray for you on your journey. Ask everybody out there to pray for you as well. That was Lourdes calling from Miami. We're going to take another quick break here on the show, but we'll be right back. And as I promised, I'm going to share with you this really incredible insight that Father Rocky shared with me through his new book. And I'll tell you how you can get a free copy as well, right on the other side of the break. If you're on the line, stay there. 888-914-9149. We'll try to get you as quickly as we can. We'll be right back.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back. 888-914-9149 is the number to call for Bidiz et Radio, the Cale Clark Show. So glad that you're with me. And I want to remind you, by the way, folks, this is the last week. There's no more after this week. After this week, they are all gone. I'm talking about Father Rocky's new book, and it's free. It's called The Memorare Moment. And obviously, our world needs this moment right now, needs Mary's help. So you can get one. You can get a free copy, no shipping, no handling. It's really a no-brainer. This is the best deal going. RelevantRadio.com/moment, and you can learn more about the Memorare Prayer and why and how it can change history. And here's a reader response to the book. Mark and Terry Kohler in Minnesota wrote in and said that they loved the book. They said it was had remarkable, easy-to-read anecdotes from Father Rocky's delightful Catholic upbringing and helped them to understand the power of the Memorare in these challenging times. And I'm going to talk about Father Rocky's delightful Catholic upbringing. It sounds like a Norman Rockwell painting. It's just an unbelievably happy scene. And I think he drew upon this a lot when he came up with this concept of the family rosary across America. So once again, go to relevantradio.com/moment today. And I promised I'd tell you, there's something in his book that really made me laugh out loud. I couldn't believe he knew about this. And don't forget, the one of the big reasons why we're doing this right now and why this book came out, why we're giving it away for free, why we need this prayer, is because this summer, coming up, could be any day now, we do expect at some point the Supreme Court of the United States is going to announce a ruling on this case called Dobbs versus Jackson, which obviously could reverse Roe versus Wade and all its destruction that's been wreaked since 1973. And of course, that leaked memo from the Supreme Court, a draft decision, seems to indicate, if all things hold to what we've seen so far, that is exactly what's going to happen. And this would be an unbelievable example of answered prayer. Hundreds, thousands, millions of prayers. And that's why here at Relevant Radio, we for example, had a 405-day rosary novena on the Family Rosary Across America, which started last year on May the 18th, and it's going to actually conclude, and this is incredible, the timing, given everything that's happening, the timing, it's going to conclude on the final Sunday of this month, June of 2022. So this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. And one of the things I love about this book, and I think you'll find it a great read too, because we all know Father Rocky's a great communicator with the spoken word. You've heard him, of course, not only on the Mass, but on the Family Rosary every night. And he's been on this show a few times, of course. He's not only great in terms of his preaching, he's a great communicator with the spoken word, but also with the written word. He really paints an evocative picture. And he talked about the first time that he ever heard St. John Paul II, Pope John Paul II, preach. And it was in Washington, D.C., back in 1979. He said, Father Rocky said, it was an absolutely defining moment in his life. And when he thinks about it to this day, it gives him goosebumps. He said it was a blustery October day, and it was actually on the very anniversary of the naval victory at the Bay of Lepanto. That's right, the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And I'm just going to let Father Rocky tell the story. I'm going to quote him here. He said, the Holy Father's silver hair was blowing in the wind. He was holding his crozier like Gandalf. I love that. All you Lord of the Rings fans out there. Holding his crozier like Gandalf, and with the silhouette of the rotunda of the nation's capital in the background, he thundered words for the whole world to hear, words that I've never forgotten. And JP2 said at that point, we will stand up every time that human life is threatened. When the sacredness of life before birth is attacked, we will stand up and proclaim that no one ever has the authority to destroy unborn life. And Father Rocky said, on my behalf and yours, he made that commitment some 44 years ago. Do we dare fail to follow through? A very good question. That's part of why we pray so many memorares for this cause. And as he points out in the first chapter of his book, it really is a mother's prayer. And he kind of talked about his two moms. And here's what I mean by that. He said that he was a cradle Catholic, literally, and over top of his cradle when he was a baby was a crucifix. And next to the crucifix there's a picture of Our Lady, very much like the scene we have in the Gospel of John with Our Lady at the foot of the cross. So he said not only was there an image of Our Lady by his crib, but in every room in his parents' home, in every bedroom and their living room, there was an image of Our Lady. So he kind of felt like Mary's eyes were constantly upon him, always watching over him and his family. And so he says, quote, "From an early age, I grew up with the knowledge that I had two mothers who loved me. There was this radiant, smiling woman who fed me my breakfast, taught me my prayers, made sure my shoes were tied, and wiped my tears when I was hurt. Then there was Mary." What a beautiful way to talk about his mom. "And then there was Mary. She was the mother of God, but she was also my mother, too. Like my mother on earth, my mother in heaven would always be there for me. I could turn to her for anything I needed." He talked about growing up in Mundelein, Illinois, and it was a very Catholic town. Actually, the village, I didn't know this, was named after the first Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal George Mundelein. And he said Cardinal Mundelein actually purchased the first fire truck for the village back in 1925. So some great history there. And of course, there's St. Mary of the Lake, which is the seminary there. There was Marytown, St. Mary's Road. Mary was omnipresent in Father Rocky's childhood. And I love what he says, by the way. I love what Father Rocky said regarding his parents' relationship. He said, quote, "My parents were best friends, and they were my best friends too," end of quote. That's just amazing. If you can be best friends with your parents, and just, I think it's so important for children to see that love between husband and wife, and it has to be built on a genuine friendship. That's ideal. And so I just love this. Again, it's like a Norman Rockwell painting. He said that his parents came to all of his baseball games, all of his concerts. They would go to Mass every Sunday, always dressed up. And after Mass, his dad would prepare a feast of bacon and eggs and top it off with a Danish from Miller's Bakery. And he said this is really, he didn't realize it at the time, but his parents were forming a Catholic sensibility in their family, how to see the world with Catholic eyes. And I think this is insightful. Another writer once described this as kind of, the home obviously is as a domestic church. It's like a little seminary. It's like a little seminary. And the word seminary means seedbed. And so the domestic church is where we find these insights, the spiritual seeds that we need to water with love, as St. Justin Martyr talked about, so that they might come alive. And so he really saw, Father Rocky came to see growing up, that, yeah, there was this family on earth, but also he was surrounded by the family of God in the unseen realm, all the angels and saints, including Mother Mary, with them all the time, all that is visible and invisible. And I really, really like the fact that, I think it's true for most of us, by the way, that our mothers are real. I mean, dads are obviously super important in the spiritual life too. Don't get me started on that. But I think if I were to ask many of you listening today, I would bet my bottom dollar that it was your mom who taught you how to pray. Your mom was your first teacher of prayer. And it was no less true for Father Rocky. He said that his mother taught him and his siblings little prayers to seek God's help throughout the day, such as, "Infant Jesus, meek and mild, make me like the Holy Child." Love it, love it. And I had to laugh too when he talked about the bedtime prayers that he and his brothers and sisters would pray. And he said that they would pray for their pretty big extended family. "God bless Mom and Dad, Marty and Meg, Tom and Dick, Jimmy and Mary Grace, Raymond and Rocky, Grandma and Grandpa, and all my aunts and uncles and cousins." It's funny because that's exactly the prayer that we pray with Michaela every night. Patricia and I, we pray, we go through sort of the laundry list of everybody in the family, Grandma and Grandpa, and all of our aunts and uncles and cousins, but we also add friends, cousins and friends, because they're kind of part of our family too, and they need help as well. And so this is great. And he talked about really the origins of what we now have with the Family Rosary across America. And I really do think it's based on prayer times that Father Rocky had with his family, their family rosary hour. And he said it wasn't the evening prayer of the monks. He said it was seldom as orderly as my parents might have liked. After dinner, after the dishes were done, everybody went into the living room. And he said some nights his brothers and sisters would tickle him or tease him while they were praying, tug at his pajama bottoms. He said his dog named Tinker would somehow always manage to get into the action. And maybe even at the end of a long day, his dad might doze off after a few rosary beads after they started the prayer. But that's okay. He said it was all beautiful in that imperfect, messy way that time is beautiful when we spend it together with our family. And so I promised you I'd tell you the thing that kind of grabbed my attention. I mean, a lot of things grabbed my attention in this book. It's just amazing. I'll have more to say about it later this week. But you talked about the memorare prayer, and it's something of a mystery. And he also mentioned that I couldn't believe that he knew about this. Father Rocky said it kind of reminded him of a popular book that came out a few years ago, and it was called The Prayer of Jabez. And this is sort of in the context of him saying, hey, the memorare is not magic, okay? It's not an incantation. It's not a divine incantation. I can't just pray it and poof, get what I want. And there was a book that came out, and I had to smile at this because during my time away from the Catholic Church, and obviously I'd gone to a Protestant seminary and became a Protestant minister. I've come back into the Catholic Church, obviously. But during my time in the Protestant seminary, this book was all the rage. I was shocked that Father remembered this one. It's called The Prayer of Jabez, and it was written by a Protestant minister named Bruce Wilkinson. And this was the only thing anybody talked about for a while. A lot of people criticized it, even in the Protestant world. A lot of people loved it. And it's really about this really obscure prayer in one of the more obscure books of the Bible. And not that it's obscure, but let's face it, most people don't do their devotional reading in the book of Chronicles in the Old Testament. And here's the prayer. This guy named Jabez in the book of Chronicles prays this prayer. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. That's from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. And as Father Rocky noted, this is a little bit dangerous, depending on how you understand this, because you can't manipulate God. You can't control God. You can't force him to do your bidding. That's not what this is about. And some people, unfortunately, took this book to mean that if you pray this prayer, you're going to get your territory enlarged. You're going to get all these material blessings. I'm not necessarily sure that Bruce Wilkinson necessarily meant that. Even in the book, he said, that's not what I'm talking about. But it is instructive in some other ways. We can sometimes, I think, fail to grab onto the blessings that God wants to give us. Sometimes we have sort of a fatalistic view of God that, hey, he's blessed me so much already. I'm just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. This is almost too good to be true. He's given me so much. And so you don't want to ask. And this is what's so great about the memorare, that we can, with trust, say, hey, we are asking for big things here, both at Relevant Radio and, of course, in our culture, in our world, what's going on with the Supreme Court, an end to abortion. Yeah, these are big things to ask for. But we've got to have confidence that God wants to bring this about because it's his will. So as long as we ask in accordance with God's will, then yeah, we do want a bigger territory. We do want more and more people to come into this message. So a lot of insights we can get from this book. So if this is in any way whet your appetite, I would encourage you, it's well worth it because it's only going to cost you the time it takes to go to relevantradio.com/moment to sign up for your free book from Father Rocky. It's a great one. It's called The Memorare Moment. Once again, relevantradio.com/moment. Oh, got a phone call. It's Michaela. Hi, Michaela.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi.
I'm calling in to say happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Michaela. I really appreciate that, and I'm looking forward to having a piece of cake with you. I hope you haven't started without me.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Daddy. Happy birthday to you.
Well,
Poppy's also saying happy birthday.
Yep, that's right, everybody. That's our new dog, Poppy.
Hello.
Howling at the moon, giving her her unique flavor to happy birthday. I appreciate that. Oh, oh, oh. Usually she starts howling like that when I start to sing. But thank you very much, Michaela. Love you so much and looking forward to having that cake with the gritty icing. And producer Jim was asking me, what in the world is gritty icing? I said, it's kind of like when you can feel the texture of it, the kind of, you know, it's like that sandy texture in the icing. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but I just love that. I absolutely love it. Jim says, does that mean you won't eat the whipped ice? I'll eat any icing, Jim. You should know that by now. So anyways, thanks so much for that call, Michaela. And thanks everybody for your birthday wishes. Really appreciate each and every single one of you. Hey, we've got some great stuff coming up tomorrow on the Faith Explained program. We're looking at the letter of James. Wow, lots of sublime wisdom there. People are so confused about what God is like and whose fault is it. Whenever sin is in the world and everything that's going on, all the tragedies, people want to play the blame game. Oftentimes, we have to point the finger at ourselves. We're pointing them at others. One finger is pointing at that person. There are always at least three fingers pointing back at you. So we make choices in this world. We can't blame God for sin. If God's not the author of sin, what is he really like? We're going to tell you tomorrow on the Faith Explained program. Well, I mentioned Father Rocky and the Family Rosary Across America. That is coming up right after Timory's show. So stay tuned for Timory, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless. Take it away, Michaela. I know you're just here, but...
Thank you for listening to my daddy.